I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're taking communion over the parable of the talents found in Matthew chapter 25. So we got some amazing insights coming in this parable of the talents. Jesus says, this is the way that the kingdom of heaven operates. These parables are teaching us about God, about the kingdom of heaven, about the way he operates. And so we're going to be taking communion over this today, just asking God for increased insight and revelation and understanding of this parable so we can practically apply it into our lives, so we can get to that place where God says, well done, good and faithful servant. But why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir the sacrifice of Jesus into our mind and remembrance and imagination, to make his sacrifice active and alive and relevant right now today in this present moment. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to stir them into our mind and remembrance, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the cracker and the juice, that we can release our faith into. I believe it unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together and helps us to remember him. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, take it with the fear of the Lord. Just that deep honor and reverence and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. All that he and God were willing to do to connect us back to him. And so the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says, some people are weak and sick, and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical workout advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is one of the greatest ways for us to practice exercising our faith, to receive this grace by faith, and to experience God doing the work through us, where we rest and God does the work. And then once we understand how to do this, we can practically apply it into all the other areas of our lives as well. Not to mention a lot of great side effects, better health and fitness and all these types of things. Let's get into our time of prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, all those connected to them, all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today. Help us be sensitive to those opportunities and make the most of them today. I ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. and ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. And this is where we talk about, are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. Because we have to have this eternal perspective with God. But then we've got to bring that relationship with him down into today. Our relationship with God has got to impact our daily decisions, our actions, the things we're thinking about, the things we're speaking about today. And that's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. Think of it like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in between. So to be positioned in the light, we're going to take our position in humility today. Because it's the humble that are given grace. It's the humble that are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves. We're going to stop beating ourselves up and stop putting all this pressure on ourselves. And we're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. And we're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best about people. Keeping no record of wrongs. Always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude today. Not just thinking about it, but physically expressing it out into the world. We're going to speak it. We're going to write it. We're going to embody gratitude today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. And by faith, we're going to access this grace in which we now stand. We're going to take our position in the light. We're going to take our position in Christ. And in Christ, God has taken everything he has, and he put it all in him. Jesus was deserving. He was worthy of it, and he put it all in him. And we get to be in him today. So this day today, we've got access to his spirit and power and presence, his love, his peace, his joy, his kingdom and purpose and family, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, you name it. It's all in there in him today. So first, we're going to take our position in it. But then we're going to start to magnify it. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to expand that capacity where God can flow more and more of all these good things through us. And it's all about what we're focused on. What are we thinking about? What are we talking about? What are we meditating on throughout the day? Meditation, I think of repetition. What are my consistent words and thought patterns and actions? The things that I'm repeating over and over again. How we're going to begin to magnify that light. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Be thinking about it and talking about it, repeating it over and over, studying it diligently, magnifying his unfailing love and his faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our right standing in Christ. We've got peace with God today. We have his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. To magnify what's going well, looking back at how far God has already brought us, all that he's already done in our lives. And whatever he started, he's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it, sustain all things by the power of his word, by his powerful word. We're going to magnify those things. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring those issues and problems into the light and magnify God as bigger. Always think of David and Goliath. Everybody else is magnifying the size of Goliath, but David looks Goliath right in the face. He begins to magnify God as bigger than Goliath. And that's the difference. But God does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, looking out for ourselves, venting, complaining, magnifying the size of the issues and problems, trying to figure it all out ourselves rather than resting and trusting in God. We could do it our own way. And that's where we're going to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness, we're magnifying darkness. There might be the tendency to retaliate at people. Maybe we snap at them. Maybe we withhold good things that we know to do. But we're not going to do that for them because they said something, they did something, whatever it may be. There might be the tendency to avoid people, to withdraw our presence, or give them the silent treatment, but we just won't speak to them. None of those are the way of light. None of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. We're supposed to be loving people, giving other people the same grace God has given us, and letting that flow through us to other people. And when we take our position in the light, we start to magnify that light. You're going to feel this lightness on the inside. But when we're out of position, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you on the inside. Might feel hopelessness, helplessness, powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck. And it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. Think of it like a black hole that just sucks the energy right out of us. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future, confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. We get stuck in these vicious cycles and bad patterns. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. And the more we magnify it, the more that rest begins to grow and expand. And when we rest, God goes to work. When we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. I've got his peace and his joy and his energy, his mind and wisdom all begin to flow. Now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. We're depending and hoping and trusting in him. He just begins to effortlessly set us free out of bad habits, bad patterns, situations that maybe looked impossible. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. We ever miss it, we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Because one of our biggest challenges is maintaining our position, maintaining our focus, because life is throwing stuff at us every day. If we ever get off track, number one, it's recognizing those symptoms, having that awareness and saying, you know what, wait a minute, I'm off track right now. And we humble ourselves, Father, forgive me. I missed it right now. I'm off track right now. We recognize it. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. We stop beating ourselves up over it. We get right back into position and we reconcile with anybody else we need to reconcile with. And then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And that what he put within us is more than enough to handle whatever's coming at us today. There's grace for today. And immediately when you do this, you'll feel that shift on the inside, like the weight just lifts off of you. You feel the peace and the joy and the love and the energy just wash over you on the inside. There's this lightness that comes into our spirit, that rest in our soul. Then we got to stay tuned in today. Our third fundamental. Every day God's trying to lead us and train us and guide us. But we got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. I like to start by writing out gratitude and praise. What am I thankful for today? To start praising him, to get our positioning. Then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are the ways I saw God showing up today? And then it's good to examine ourselves. How was my positioning? How was my focus? Are there any areas that I need to make some adjustments in? And just praying and asking for God's help in those areas. And then I like to ask this question. God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a few minutes. And whatever comes into our mind, just begin to write that down. Because something very powerful happens when we get out of our head and onto the paper or speak it out loud. When we get out of us, out into the world. Something very powerful happens that helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned into him today because he's trying to navigate our path today. You ever feel like you're losing that connection with him? Just take a minute or two. It doesn't take long. Just to slow down, get powered up in him. Get reconnected to him. Think of it like plugging in your cell phone when it's getting low on batteries. Then the last thing I like to do before bed is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And what I've learned to do is stick with what I know to do. What do I know to do today? Because sometimes I learned I was getting ahead of God. I would pray and ask for his leading and direction, but then I wouldn't wait for him to show me. And I would get out ahead of him, wasting a bunch of time doing things that I shouldn't be doing yet. On the other side, sometimes I was getting behind him because I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so what I've learned to do is, what do I know to do today? Stop toiling away, trying to figure out what's for tomorrow. Stop procrastinating on the things that I know are for today. What do I know to do today? Begin to make out that list. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. First thing in the morning, we're going to get connected to him. Start praising him and thanking him. Start magnifying him. Start magnifying his word, just studying his word as another way to get connected to him. And then we're going to walk out that plan with a willing heart and a good attitude, full confidence in him that he's right there with us every step of the way, relying and trusting on him to fill this day. And when we get to that place of confident faith, that's the place where all the doubt and unbelief is removed, and we move to this place of just knowing that he's right there with us. This grace begins to flow through us, begins to surge through us. And he begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic, and it just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives, like a magnet. So let's take a look at this scripture today. The parable of the talents. Coming from Matthew chapter 25, this is verses 14 through 30. This is Jesus talking. He's given these parables about what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one of them, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2, to another, 1. So in this time, talents were a form of money. To each of them, according to his ability. So we got one guy that's got 5 talents, another's got 2, another's got 1 talent, each given according to their ability. Then the master, he goes away. He went away. And the guy who had received the 5 talents, notice this, he went at once. Doesn't say that about any of the other guys. The guy who had the most ability, what did he do? He went at once. One of the teachings we have in our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, is money likes speed. To grow more prosperous in our finances, to do a good job with our finances, we have to prioritize being faster and stop procrastinating in the area when we know good to do. He went at once and he traded with them and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents, he made 2 talents more as well. But the one who had received the 1 talent, he went and dug in the ground. He dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and he settled the accounts with them. And the guy who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." So a couple of things I want you to think about right now. Number one, if we're faithful with little, we'll be faithful with much. How we do in the little things is a predictor of how we're going to do in the bigger things. Now, I want you to take note of another thing. I can't remember if it's in the other parable of the talents or the minus, but Jesus says, if we're not faithful with somebody else's property, how can we be expected to be given our own? If we're not faithful in somebody else's property, how can we be expected to be faithful with our own? Now, the next guy comes forward. He also had 2 talents. The guy with 2 talents came forward. He said, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more." And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, Now, notice, fear and faith are the opposite. Faith and fear. Jesus is rebuking people on the earth when he was on the earth for being afraid. I was afraid, and so I went and hid your talent in the ground. And here, you have what is yours. So he didn't do anything with this. His lied dormant. Now, one of the teachings we talk about in our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, as well, is that life is kind of like you're on a treadmill. If you do nothing, if you stand on a treadmill and the treadmill's going and you do nothing, what happens? You get shot off the back. You actually go backwards. There is a certain amount of work that you have to do just to stay at zero, just to stay steady. For example, in our health, if we do nothing, your health is going to go backwards. In your money, if you hide it in the ground and do nothing, inflation and taxes and all these types of things are going to eat away. It's going to go in the wrong direction. This principle applies into every area of life. What did the guy who had the five talents do? He at once went and put it to work. The other guy did nothing and it went backwards. It all gets taken from him, we're going to see here. It's an important principle for us to understand. But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed." So he's saying, hey, what you say is true. "Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Now, wait a minute. He's taken the talent from the guy who has the least, and he's giving it to the guy who has the most. Why? Because he knows he's going to do something with it. He knows that at once, as soon as he gets that talent, he's going to put it to work. "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he'll have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So we're going to take communion over this, just asking for God's wisdom and insight and understanding of this parable to help us glean new things and understanding from these verses here today so that we can practically apply them. We can get to the end of our time and God can say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you, for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he went through to connect us back to you, that you were willing to send him for us. And we just thank you for this parable of the talents, this gift of this parable. And we're asking for your help today, just greater level of wisdom and insight and understanding on how to apply these principles into our lives today. We're asking for your help with that, to help us to walk this out. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he said, "Take it. Receive it, that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice." The cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing. So Father, we thank you for this bread, just this opportunity to remember. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." You can have this covenant relationship with him, this partnership with him, where we can know him. We can know his heart and his love and his goodness. That's what it's all about. Father, we're asking for your help to be like that guy with the five talents today. At once went and put it to work and traded with him. Took action. We ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take a juice. All right. We touched on this a little bit already. Today's health and workout advice. This parable today has practical applications into our health. Your body is meant to work. God gave you this body. He gave you this gift of this body. We got to be good stewards of it. And one of those things is we got to put it to work. At once, we got to put it to work. Every day, your body needs to move. So, for example, our heart pumps blood throughout our body. But there's another system in our body called the lymphatic system that cleans out the body, cleans out waste and debris and inflammation, detoxifies the body. It's like a water system that functions throughout the body. But that system has no pump. That system has no pump other than your muscles. And when your muscles work, it works to clean out your body, clean out the inflammation and waste and debris, keeping your body healthy. Your body needs to work. What happens if your body doesn't work? What happens if your muscles don't work? It's guaranteed they're going to go the wrong direction. They're going to atrophy. Put your arm in a cast and it's going to atrophy. Start working it again, the muscles begin to grow and get healthier. The body is meant to work. It needs to move. It needs to work every single day. We're going to be like that guy with the five talents who at once went and put it to work. So I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.